Good morning, everybody. All right. So anybody doesn't know me, I'm John. Thank you, John. Usually I do the announcements, which I really have learned to appreciate, because I can get up here, get in, and get out in 3 minutes. If I really screwed up, it's not too bad, because I'm done. But now I'm responsible for, like at least 2 hours worth of stuff here. I kid. But I am excited to be here. I really appreciate Vic giving me the opportunity to bring the message today. I talked to my wife. There's two sides of this coin. One, I was really excited about the opportunity to do this. The other side, I'm really thankful when this is all over. Trust me. But I am glad to be here. I think most of you were here last week when Pete talked, because really what he spoke about and what I'm speaking out about today are really their sister passages to each other. And we didn't talk ahead of time and see what he was talking about, what I was going to talk about. But really, the Lord kind of married those two things together, actually. And so I really feel like the Lord is wanting to say something to the Church of Emmaus today in this week. So I am thankful for that. And I don't really have an official title. Last week, Pete had this really cool title. It's like Dust to Diamonds, something really exciting. Mine is The Parable of the Talents, August 11th, 2019. So we're going to dig in this together again. I think you're familiar with this parable to a degree. I'm not doing an exegesis on the whole passage per se, but what I'm going to preach on today does come from this passage, and what the Lord wanted me to say does come out of this. I referred to it several times, and we're going to read the whole parable. So it's a little bit of a lengthy parable, but I want you to have the full context, and it does make sense to do so. We're going to do that. So again, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 25, so it'll come up on the screen. But if you have your Bible, please feel free to turn there. And we're going to read the parable of the talents. So we're just going to dig in, and then we'll say a prayer, okay? So, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he had received... And the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received the 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful and over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathered where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. You ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love. Lord, your love and your grace abounds to us more than we deserve and know. Lord, we ask you to please speak to us this morning through your word. Holy Spirit, bring your message and your word to our hearts. Open our hearts to receive your word, God, and may we be your light in this world, God, I pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Okay, so what exactly is a talent? Let's give some background to this parable. So a talent is, in this context, explicitly, it is, gold. Or money, so to speak. So what is a talent worth? So a lot of commentaries they kind of differ a little bit, but I think the overarching agreement on most commentaries is that talent is worth about 20 years of a day laborer's wage. So let's bring this into today's time. So let's take a day laborer. Let's just say he's a guy in construction, right? He probably makes around $12 or $15 an hour. So if you take that and you multiply that times 40 hours a week, right? Let's multiply that now by 48 weeks out of the year, right? We'll give him some time for vacations. And then we multiply that times 20 years. That comes to approximately $500,000, right? Which is a good chunk of change. So that means the servant who received the five talents, his master gave him $2.5 million to invest on his behalf. So this master is really trusting his servants in this case. And the servant who received the two talents means he got around $1 million. And the servant who received the one talent received around approximately 500 grand. So even the one talent, that was a lot of money and actually very valuable. So I want you to keep that in the back of your mind. So later in the message when we talk about that one talent servant, I want you to realize, even though he only had the one talent, how valuable that really was. So keep that in back of your mind. So, and there's a couple ways to think. You know, this parable explicitly is talking about, you know, money, right? And being a faithful servant with finances. But we're going to kind of break that a little bit. And I like the fact that, and there's different versions of the Bible. I'm using the New King James for this message for the most part. Except for the one place I do use NIV. But, you know, some places may call it gold and whatnot. But I do like the reason I did choose the New King James Version because they do use the term talents, right? Which, you know, does have that double meaning. So, you know, we kind of know talents as, you know, gifts from the Lord or a knack or a skill for doing something. And I am making that correlation in today's message. So, you know, God really doesn't, he will bless us with finances for sure. But I'm making that translation. It's not just God's going to bless us with money, but he blesses us with talents and gifts. And it can be financial as well. And he gives us these things to, as his servants, to do things for his kingdom, right? That's the purpose of it. And that's kind of the purpose of this passage. In fact, this parable is in the middle of some other parables as well, where Jesus is telling stories about the end times and what to expect and what we are to do as his people and what the master is expecting upon his return. So this falls in the middle of those parables. So keep that context in mind as well as you go through this. So God does give us gifts and he does give us talents and blessings for his glory and so that we can do things for his kingdom on this earth. Right? There's a very practical application to this that we're responsible for as well. So if we go to Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8, it says this: we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So I love this particular verse because it really shows God gives us all kinds of gifts and all kinds of talents that we can use for his kingdom. So any good thing that comes from the Lord that he blesses us with, we can use that for his kingdom and for his glory. But a lot of times when we think about gifts, which I know I kind of was raised in church, and a lot of times when we think about gifts, you think about those really big things, right? Like, you know, the gift, you have this gift of healing or this gift of supernatural knowledge or, you know, the gift of tongues, like those type things. And so you think of gift things like that. And a lot of times we're like, well, I don't have anything like that, or I don't feel like I do. But the reason I like this verse is really any good thing from the Lord, you know, a talent, a gifting, even financial, whatever it is, if we can use it for good, we can use it for the kingdom of God. And that is a talent that we need to recognize and employ in the service as we're his servants. So that's one thing I like about that particular passage. And the reason I chose this passage explicitly is because of kind of a moment I had with the Lord. So I'm going to tell you a little short story, something that happened between me and God a little while back. So I'd say for about a year, the Lord's been working on me in some different areas. And so one morning I was on the couch, you know, spending some time with the Lord. I was reading his Bible. And for some reason, I was reflecting on the armor of God. I don't know if I was reading, you know, in Ephesians chapter 6, or for some reason it just came to my mind. I was pondering upon it. But, you know, if you're not familiar with the armor of God, I think most of you probably are, but the armor of God, right, it talks about in Ephesians, you had the belt of truth, and you had the shoes with the peace of the gospel, and you had the breastplate of righteousness, and you had the shield of faith, right, to quench the fiery arts of the enemy, and you put on the helmet of salvation, and then you had the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, right? So there's this you know, Paul's talking about there's this spiritual armor that we put on that as we as Christ followers, we should be putting on every day. So for some reason, I don't know why, I was thinking on this and pondering upon this, and the Lord kind of spoke to my heart at that time, and he said, and a part of this was kind of visual, I saw in my mind's eye, and part of it's just is partly that I heard him speaking to my spirit, right? But so I kind of saw this image in my mind's eye of he said, you know, John, I love you, I know you love me. You're wearing the armor of God. You're doing good. He said, but you're in this this square of, I call it land for lack of a better term. So this 5 foot square plot of land, and you had the armor on, and you're fighting. You know, you had the armor on. You're fighting against the enemy. You're being very defensive. You have your family with you, and you're doing all you can to fight off the enemy and live a Christian life. And I thought that was kind of a compliment, actually. But he kind of corrected me there and said, but I have so much more planned for you. You've been in this plot of land for like 20 years, and you haven't gone anywhere. He said, yes, your armor is meant for defense, but I've given you the sword of the Spirit for offense. It's to go on the offensive, and you've been in the defense for so long. And then I kind of saw this vision, really where it wasn't a vision, but I kind of saw this image where it's like this distance of land, like I would say probably about a football field length or maybe more actually. And as I saw, he's like, I expect you by now, I had a plan for you. I expect you by now to be over there, you know. And I kind of saw myself at that place and looking back to where I was standing. And I think of it as kind of like a field that's been cleared, right? He said, all this land that has been taken back from the enemy for the kingdom of heaven, right, for his glory, and that he had these wonderful plans made for me, but instead of being on the offensive all this time, I've been playing a defensive mode, and there's more he wants me to do, take some risk and get out there and do some things for the kingdom of heaven, but I haven't really done that. And let me make this kind of clear too. He didn't say this to me in a condemning way. I have felt no condemnation at all from the Lord, right? But it's really from a place of, just as a mom or dad, you're teaching your kids or child, it's kind of what it was. It's like, you know, it's more like I did have a conviction of the Holy Spirit though. It's like, John, I have plans for you. I still do. There's so much I want you to do for the kingdom of the Lord, and you can. And I've given you gifts. I've given you this awesome armor. You know, I need you to change your mindset a little bit though, because you're stuck in this mindset of being on defense and trying not to lose anything that the Lord has given you. Keep your family safe and stuff. He said it's time to go on the offense. So that's kind of where, and then later on I read this passage. And so that the Lord kind of tied them together in my own spirit about, you know, being in that wearing the armor and do things for the Lord versus, you know, sitting still and not doing much. That's kind of how this passage was birthed. That's where this message came from. So, just so you know, some background. So, we're going to get back to the parable here. So, the parable talks about two groups of people, but we're going to talk about three this morning. So, the first group are the true followers of Christ. So, from the parable, that'd be those who are the 5 and 2 talent servants in this case, right? And the second group, I'm going to call them religious people, right? And they're represented in the parable by the 1 talent servant. And we're going to talk about that too. But there's also a third group that I want to talk about today. And that is the true followers of Christ, but they're stuck in a 1 talent mindset, which is where I was forever. And so we're going to talk about that third group too. So the first thing we're going to do is talk about the true followers of Christ. So who are the true followers of Christ? These are people who love the Lord. They know the Lord. They know his character. They have given their lives to him. They trust in Jesus. They have a relationship with the Lord, and God knows them. And he loves them. And they have a relationship with the Lord, so they know his love. They know his grace, his righteousness. They know his justice, but they know his forgiveness and his peace and his kindness. And there's three things about this group I want you to keep in mind. So they have relationship, but they have risk, and they also have reward. And this, again, ties into what Pete talked about a little bit last week. So if you weren't here last week, I suggest you, you know, go online and listen to last week's sermon. It's really good. And these two tie together really well. So the first thing is they do have a relationship. They know the Lord. They know he loves them. And there's no fear there, right? They have a healthy respect for the Lord, and they fear the Lord in a biblical sense. But they don't walk in fear of the Lord's judgment all the time, right? Because they have that relationship. They're his, he is their father. He is, and they are his son. You know, he's their savior, their best friend. He died for them. They are filled with his Holy Spirit. So they have this relationship. So that frees them up, right, to also take risk. Just like in the parable, they'll do things that are that are risk for the kingdom. They put themselves out there. So this means, so they'll risk their reputation, they'll risk getting rejected, and they'll risk failure, right? So they put things out there, but in the same sense, by doing so, they also get this great reward from the Lord as well. And when you take these risks, sometimes there can seem like there is, like it's unproductive, or it was even kind of a failure, right? But that's part of being a Christ follower and being a real true Christian in the Lord. So sometimes when you do things for the Lord, it feels like, that did not go too well at work. And you're kind of sometimes afraid that keeps us, you know, for those people who aren't these five and two talent servants, that kind of holds us back a little bit, right? But we all know these kind of Christians. You know, you see them in your life, whether you know them here at church or other places, you know, you see them, they have this strong relationship with the Lord, and they seem like they have all these awesome gifts and talents to do things, and they seem to have these really cool opportunities that open up for them, and they really get out there and do things, and you know who those folks are, and they're an inspiration, you know, you're kind of impressed by them, and they're really mature in the faith, and that's kind of where we all want to strive to be, right, is that five and two talent Christian. But as I said before, sometimes, you know, you have to take risks, and it doesn't always work out well. So as I said, the Lord has been stretching me in some things. And again, this is one of those areas, right? I definitely feel like I was one of those, you know, one talent Christians, but not really doing much. So the Lord has been stretching me to do some things. And of course, I get a little excited about that, right? So I tell things to Amy, he's like, we need to move downtown. You know, we're not going to Africa. We'll move downtown and buy a house and just minister to the poor and do some crazy stuff. And Amy's like, that's great, babe. But maybe we should start out reaching our neighbors first, because we don't actually even talk to them. And I was like, you know, you're right. So she definitely has some wisdom there. I said that kind of pierced me at the same time. I was like, okay, you're right. We'll start there. So, so I do have this neighbor across the street, and his name's Mitch. Mitch has a lot of health problems. He's pretty much blind, right? So he wears the glasses and he has the cane and stuff. He can see a little bit, but for the most part, he's blind. He's had a couple kidney transplant surgeries. He's had heart surgery. He's had a lot of things. And I kind of felt bad for Mitch because he's pretty much housebound. He's not that old. I'll say he's in his 50s. But his wife goes to work. So I know he's in the house all day, every day, and doesn't really get the chance to get out. And I kind of felt bad about that. And if I was housebound and nobody ever came over, I'd be kind of lonely, and you can't go anywhere because of the health issues. So the Lord has kind of laid Mitch on my heart a little bit. And so something you need to know about me, too, is I'm not the most hospitable person in the world. That's just, and I don't talk to people real well. I don't know that. I just, it's an area that I'm growing in. And I know this about myself, but that's okay. I'm a piece of clay in work. That's fine. But also I work from home, which has its great benefits. So that means a lot of times on lunch hour, I can go outside and hit golf balls. So, and I do this like all the time. So I have these little yellow foam golf balls. I go in the front yard and I hit these things, you know, work on my golf game. And so one afternoon I was outside and I hit my little yellow golf ball, and lo and behold, out walks Mitch from his front door. So one, I was a little surprised. Why is he? Because he has glasses on, but he had one of those little four-wheel things that you kind of walk with, right? So he came out of his driveway with that thing and walking down the driveway. And so what I do, what any good Christian would do, I completely froze. I just stared at him for a minute. And I thought to myself, if I don't move, he probably won't see me, and he won't know that I'm here. And that's exactly what I did. I just stood there real still. He walked in his driveway and actually started going down the sidewalk a little bit. And when he got far enough, I picked up my balls and went inside. So I was like, and then, you know, that later that afternoon, I was like, ugh, I totally dropped the ball. And the Lord let me know that I dropped the ball. I told Amy about it, and she let me know I dropped the ball. And so I was like, okay, you know, fair enough. So I was like, well, Lord, give me another opportunity. You know, so a couple weeks pass, and then I'm in the front yard again, hitting my little yellow golf balls. And lo and behold, it had to be God, right? Here comes Mitch again. This man never comes out of his house. What are the chances? So what I do, what any good Christian would do, I completely froze. And it's like, this worked last time. And so I stood there, and he didn't see me because, you know, he doesn't see well. But again, the Holy Spirit kind of pierced my heart a little bit, says, John, you need to go talk to Mitch. And so I said, Lord, you're right. So I put down the golf club. I jogged over there and kind of called out to him so I wouldn't startle him. So we chatted for a few minutes, and I told him, listen, I'd love to come spend some time with you during the week. Maybe once or twice a week, come over. We'll chat for 30 minutes and just hang out. He's like, yes, that'd be awesome. Really, really good. Let's do that. So we planned for it. So the next week, we agreed that, okay, I'll come over like on Tuesday, whatever, we'll hang out. So next Tuesday came. I went over. We hung out for like 50 minutes, you know. I thought it went great. We had a good conversation. You were engaged. I felt like, you know, I kind of broke his monotony a little bit. And then I went home, right, because I had to go back to work. You know, then Thursday came, and I called, and he said he wasn't feeling well. So it wasn't a good day. I said, no problem. Next week came around. I called and texted. Didn't get a response. You know, a couple times later, I tried again, and he's like, yeah, he just wasn't feeling well. So basically, Mitch doesn't want to have John come over to his house anymore. So I thought it was awesome, but really, it kind of felt like, oh, that was kind of a failure. You know, I kind of risked it a little bit, got out of my comfort zone, talking to somebody I really don't know. You know, I thought God was going to do something really cool. I thought I'm going to have those really cool testimonies, like you're right, you're about in the story. Like, you know, next 20 years later, they're best friends, you know. But nope, you know, Mitch doesn't want to, he's like, that was good, John. One session was plenty. And so I feel like, he didn't say that, but that's the kind of way I received it. So I feel like, oh, that was such a failure. Lord, what happened? But, you know, that's the thing about taking risks for the Lord. Really wasn't that great, right? I was completely healthy. There's really no real risk there. But sometimes you feel like, okay, it really didn't work out. But one thing about doing things for the Lord, I'm telling you right now, sometimes it will look like a failure. But from the outside, it is so hard to see what watering a seed looks like, or what planting a seed looks like, because you don't know what's going on in that person. I just have to trust the Lord that, you know what, the Lord's going to do something there in that person. It's hard to see from the outside, but you know, you have to trust and know that God's doing something on the inside with that person. And even if it was a complete failure, you know, God honored my commitment to obedience in that case. I can tell you he did, because from that moment on, even though that was like, not the greatest experience, or at least from my perspective and outward results driven experience, right? But Lord has really given me opportunity from that point on to and I think he rewarded me out of that, just like Pete talked about last time. You know, God will give us rewards here with whether more talents, more gifts, or whatever it is, more opportunities, but you also are storing for yourselves treasure in heaven. Regardless of how the results are, you took that risk, and you're getting treasure in heaven out of that. And so out of that moment, the Lord did stretch and grow me from that. And I was able to do other things from that moment that were, you know, you'd classify as successful, so to speak. But I don't think those things would have ever happened if I didn't step out there. So it's just kind of an example. As you step out in obedience, sometimes on the outside, it may not look like it was really that awesome of a thing. Maybe it's just a small little thing. But the Lord will honor that, trust me, as you grow in your Christian faith. And those are what we're going to classify as the true followers of Christ. Those people who know the Lord, love the Lord, and are actually trying to do something for the kingdom, okay? So we're going to the second group of people now. And those are the religious followers. So these are people who really have a religion, right? They don't know the Lord in a personal relationship way. They don't know the Lord from they don't know his love, his grace, his forgiveness. All they really know is his judgment and his justice, right? That's what they have. That's what they walk in. And they kind of have this false sense of security. They have this false sense of salvation because they don't really have that salvation at all. Because for them, it's not a relationship. It's just a religion. So what does that mean? So that means they take the things the Lord has given them, they take it and they bury it in the ground, right? They're not even playing it safe. They just bury it. And really, it's more of a self-centered experience, right? They're not reaching out. You're getting excited. Anyway, they're not reaching out to touch people, right? In their own lives, it's really about them, how things affect them, and they take no risk whatsoever because they're afraid. They have an unhealthy fear of the Lord. They're afraid if they do something, they're going to lose something. They're going to lose their salvation, which they don't really have anyway. It's all about protecting, you know, their family or what they have. They don't walk in that love and the grace of the Lord that a true follower should. And as I said before, it's really religious based. And they've never really received God's grace. They haven't received God's amazing grace, which you're saying about this morning. Doesn't mean, now God has extended his grace to them over and over and over again. And he's shown them his love, but they've never received it and taken that. For whatever reason, they don't have it. They haven't walked in that. And actually, the Bible talks about these I call them followers for now. He talks about these followers because they really think they are. So let's, if we read Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 and 22, it says this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? In your name perform many miracles? So these are people who've done things actually, and they're surprised. In fact, they use this term, Lord, Lord. And I'm telling you right now, when you see in the Bible where it says the term, Lord, Lord, that's not a good thing, because it's almost like a term of pleading, almost like they can't believe what's happening. They're like, almost like, surely, God, you're wrong. They're pleading that, Lord, Lord, what's going on here? They're confused. They don't understand because they didn't have a relationship with the Lord. In fact, every place in the New Testament where you see the phrase, Lord, Lord, it's never good. So we're going to touch on a couple of those here real quick, just to show you some things. So if we go to Matthew chapter 25, this is actually the parable right before the one we're talking about the talents. It's the parable of the 10 virgins. So at the end of that parable, it says this. Later, the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he answered and said, surely I say to you, I do not know you. And then in Luke chapter 6, this is at the end of the parable of building on the rock versus the sand. It says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? And then we see again in Luke chapter 13, this is the parable of the narrow way versus the broad way. It says, then one said to him, Lord, are there a few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you, where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. So these people genuinely knew about the Lord. They heard his teaching. They heard his preaching. They ate with him. They knew all about Jesus. And they actually had done some things, right? They're like, Lord, Lord. But God responds, but they don't know the Lord. He responds to them, I don't know you, which is a horrible thing to have to hear. And these are people that, you know, may actually look like Christians, really. They come to church. They may even pray and do those things, but they don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know his grace, his forgiveness. It's all really works based, and really it's a religion based on fear. They don't know the Lord. So I don't know if you find yourself in that place today, but hopefully at the end of the service, you're going to have an opportunity to rectify that, and you'll get the opportunity to really get to know the Lord personally. So that's the second group of people, all right? The third group is called, they're also Christ followers, but they're stuck in a one-talent mindset. So what do I mean by this? So they are true believers, as I said. They know the Lord. They love the Lord. The Lord loves him. They have that relationship without question and without a doubt, right? That's not even in question right now. They are true believers. But they also feel very unqualified. And if we're honest, I'd say most of us, including me in this room, feel rather unqualified. You know, we don't see ourselves as one of those super Christians over that I talked about earlier, but we feel like, hey, we probably have like one talent, and really I feel pretty unexceptional all in all, right? So, you know, I know I've felt that way a lot in my life. Probably a lot of us do feel that way. But unlike the last group we just talked about, we don't take our talent, and they don't bury it in the ground either though, right? They're kind of like what the master said in the parable. He said, you could have at least taken my talent and put it on deposit, or at least I would have gotten interest, right? And that's kind of where I was for a long time too. I didn't bury what the Lord had given to me. I did do some things with it, but I was very, very safe with it. And I think, you know, a lot of us are like kind of like that. So we do very safe in church type things, right? There's really no risk there. So some of these activities are like, you know, limiting yourself to like, you know, being the usher, you know, taking offering or being a door greeter or working in the nursery, right? Or some of these type of activities, going to prayer groups and prayer meetings. And those things are awesome and they are good and they are needed. And I still do those things. I still work on the security team even. So I think the Lord honors that, right? And that is doing something for the kingdom. Albeit, it's also very, very safe, you know, so the whole risk-reward factor comes into play. But the Lord does honor that, And he will say to us when we do those things, well done, you did awesome. Here is something else for you to help you grow. The problem is we're stuck in that one talent mindset. So we'll take that extra reward from the Lord. Well, thank you, Lord. This is awesome and amazing. I appreciate that. But what we do, we take it and we put it in our back pocket. And now we're still holding that one talent, just like we had before. And the things we do, we limit ourselves to the one talent just like we always had. So for myself, for 20 years, I have all these talents sitting in my back pocket that I'm not using because I see myself like this. And that's kind of what the Lord was showing me back in that kind of that armor vision I was talking to you about. He's like, you know, get beyond that, John. Start taking some risks. Start doing some things. Get out of your one talent mindset. And that's kind of what I wanted to say to us today, because I feel like a lot of Christ followers find ourselves, we fall in this kind of place. We love the Lord with all of our hearts, right? And we've done things. We do things all the time. We feed the poor. We do other things. The problem is they're safe and we've limited ourselves. And the Lord is wanting to do so much more through us and with us. He has these plans for us that we need to break out of this mindset that we seem to find ourselves in. So a couple things we need to do. One, we need to change our mindset, right? So the Lord has gifted us, and these are gifts for his glory, right? They're not for our glory. They're for the Lord's glory. They're for his kingdom. We will learn to listen to the Holy Spirit in those moments. The more you do this, the more you learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. But you got to change your mindset and start taking some chances, right? That's number two. One, you got to change your mindset. And number two is you have to start taking risks. You have to get out of your comfort zone. You have to be obedient. You play it safe, that's awesome. That's fine. But you're going to limit the rewards the Lord can really do in your life. And as you start taking risks, and you're willing to risk your reputation a little bit, you're willing to risk what other people will say. But you got to be able to do things such as reach out to your neighbor who you haven't reached out to in a long time or ever. You pray for that non-Christian friend who you may know and kind of step out of your comfort zone. And say, hey, can I pray for you? Or you talk to your coworker and step out in such a way. Or you go on a mission trip to do some things that get you out of your comfort zone. Or instead of telling your friend, I'll pray for you. Pray for them right there. Let's put hands on you. Let's pray for you and take that step. Do something. The more, if you want to see God do greater things, then take a greater risk. That's how those things happen. A lot of times, I know I was frustrated a lot of times in my life. You don't really see the Lord do some really cool things like you read about, either from the Bible or from these books you may read from other people's testimonies. You get those type testimonies by not playing it safe with your faith. That's how the Lord does some awesome things in your life. And when you do that, you will grow in your own confidence, right, in the Lord, and the Lord can really bless you with more opportunities and more giftings and more talents. He will reward you, so he'll reward you here, but also at the same time, you're restoring for yourself awesome treasure up in heaven, which Pete talked about last week. There's treasure that moth cannot destroy, nor can the thief steal, right, because you're being a faithful servant of the Lord. So, and this principle of risk, right, it's a universal thing. Even in business, right? For those of us who are in business, there's a risk reward factor, right? It's a natural law. So, and we find in business that the more you risk, the more reward you gain, and that's amazing. The other side of that coin, though, in business is the more risk you take, the more you can lose, and you can really lose out, and you see that happen too all the time. But that's here. That's earthly laws, right? That's earthly principles. But we're talking about God's kingdom right now. So when you risk yourself, when you risk your reputation and stepping out in obedience for the Lord, when you do that risk, there's no risk to you really when it comes down to it. God will never take away. I had another passage I think I totally missed. Hang on. Doo-doo-doo. That's okay. Anyway, but the gifts of the Lord are without reproach, really. So when he gives those to you, he's not going to take them away, especially if you're trying to use them for his kingdom, like getting out of your comfort zone and doing something. Even if it's a little foolish, but you're trying to do something good with that, there's no risk. God's not going to take that away from you. If anything, he's going to reward you even more. So in God's kingdom, it's our responsibility to take that risk, but he is totally responsible for the outcome and the rewards of that. That is not on us. That's totally on God. So unlike business, where you make that risk and you had this big loss, not so in the Christian faith. When you step out in your faith and you do something for God's kingdom, there's only reward for you. God will bless you for your obedience, I promise. And all the, and when it comes to, that didn't work out, or it seems like a little bit of a failure, listen, that's all on God. God is responsible for the outcome. He is responsible for the reward. We can't see what's going on in that person's heart, but the Holy Spirit does. And trust me, behind the scenes, he's doing amazing things, things you can't see or you can't know about what's going on. You hear that stories about that all the time, right? People who finally come to the Lord and they give these testimonies that someone did something and, you know, it wasn't great, but really the Lord was working on them in their hearts. But that, I guarantee that person who reached out probably felt like it was a letdown or maybe even a failure. But you know, that's the awesome thing about God is he loves us. His grace is far beyond us. And so when you take those risks, God is responsible for that. God will reward your obedience, I promise. And that's how you become one of those 5-talent or 2-talent Christians this parable was talking about. If you feel like you're stuck in this 1-talent forever, I'm telling you, take some risk. And you'll turn back 6 months later and realize, holy smokes, I've actually grown. I've done some things. I've been stagnant for so long, and you may not even see it. Almost like when you see a family member who has a kid, right? And the family, the parents were that child all the time, so they don't really notice things. But if you go away for 6 months and come back, you're like, oh, little Johnny is like, you've completely grown. You really see that difference. So you may not always necessarily feel yourself growing as you're growing, as the Lord's doing things in your life and rewarding you. But as you start to look back, you'll realize, holy smokes, look how far I've come. And I was stagnant for so long just by taking some risk. God was so good. The more you take risks, the more you'll recognize the Holy Spirit. Right? Sometimes we don't take risks because we're not sure. Is this God? Is this not God? You know, I don't know what to do. But I'm telling you, the more you do, the more you start to hear his spirit talk to your spirit and leading you and guiding you and prompting you. Hey, talk to that person. Pray for this person. Or just be friendly over there. You don't know why. You're not going over there necessarily to witness. You're just going over there to be friendly. But you're putting action behind it and being open. And you'll start to hear the Holy Spirit the more and more you do it. So I'm going to finish this off here with a short story. So this is about Amy. So I don't think she's really excited about me telling the story, but I'm going to tell it anyway. Because I say it because it was an encouragement to me. And it actually encouraged me and helped me to think about things differently. So we live in this neighborhood, and there's this neighborhood, I guess a lot of neighborhoods now have these neighborhood Facebook pages, you know. So anyway, one of the ladies on there in the neighborhood say, hey, I'm having a woman's wine night for the ladies' neighborhood. Come down and let's just chat and hang out. I can tell you that's normally not Amy's scene at all. But she said, you know what? I'm going to go down there, just kind of meet some of our neighbors. And so she did. The wine night came. She went down there and hung out and chatted with them. And she came back. I asked her about it later. She goes, yeah, it was really fun. I got to meet. She named these ladies. She got to meet. And it was really nice. And then a couple weeks have passed, maybe it's like a month or so, and they hadn't really done it again. So she decided, you know what? I'm going to host the ladies' wine night at my house this week. And I'm telling you, this is not my wife, but she was stepping out. And she's, I'm going to host it because I, you know, want to get to know our neighbors and maybe have an opportunity to talk with them. And so she hosted it. And I came home one night from, I don't know what I was doing. I think I went to the golfing range. So came home and there's these ladies on my front porch and they're all drinking wine. I'm like, okay, that's different. And so, and if you know anything about Amy, if you are Facebook friends with her, you know, she puts her faith, it's out there on Facebook. That's, you know, she's always talking about the Lord is, she feels the Lord is doing in her life, or she posts things that are very, she finds very encouraging from these other lady speakers or whatnot. So she really puts it out there. But out of this wine night, you know, they all start sending friend requests to each other in the neighborhood, you know, to become friends. And so, you know, she got several friend requests, and so she obviously accepted them. And so all those people who I can tell you are not Christ followers, they all see Amy's page. And that can probably make some of us feel a little awkward even. But they saw that. And what was the cool result of that is she had these people who don't know the Lord, they're not Christ followers, but they would start texting her or calling her, say, hey, I want to tell you about this situation. What do you think? Or, hey, can you pray for me? Or they just want to get her advice to talk through things because they realize she's different. And she has this hope and this inspiration that they don't really have. And it's probably different and weird to them. But you know what? know what? They call her anyway. They talk to her about it anyway, about these really weird situations. But that is so cool because it opened up an opportunity for Amy to talk to people she would have never had the opportunity to talk to. And these people actually reached back out to her. And that was so awesome to see because you hear about stories of Jesus doing things that people will criticize him for, right? But he was reaching the lost. And the whole thing play out right in front of my eyes, right? This lady who would not do, normally would find herself in those type of situations, but reaching out, taking a risk, right? Being obedient, and God did some amazing things. And I can tell you, well, one, even from the outside, that looked successful, right? It was really exciting to see. But also, I can tell you from that time on, the Lord's been doing some amazing things in Amy's life and has been rewarding her and blessing her and giving her opportunities she never really had before. But just being obedient, that one thing, you know, changed, you know, she's now, you know, yeah, I kind of feel like I can speak for both of us probably. We both felt like for many years we were stuck as that, you know, we have our one talent. We're not really exceptional in any way whatsoever. And, you know, really we're just followers of Christ. But stepping out and doing these things in this last year, which I think the Lord's really want to talk to us here at Emmaus, is he will do amazing things. He is faithful and he will be faithful. Regardless of how it may fold out or you think it looks on the outside, God will reward you. He'll reward you greatly and graciously. In fact, we get double rewards, right? We get rewarded here, right, with more talents from the Lord. But also, he's storing for us treasures in heaven. There he is, dude. and so one last thing in wrapping up. In doing this, there obviously, I can see Vic coming up next week, right? There's obviously a place for wisdom, right, and using some common sense in doing some things. If you want to go out and stand on the side of the road and yell at cars as they go by for the kingdom, go for it. Probably not the most effective thing to do. But I'll also on the flip side of that say this. It's way easier to steer a moving car than one sitting still. So I realize there's maturity there. And there's probably a whole other message on hearing the Holy Spirit and how to do things. And there's a maturity there and how to reach people, for sure. But what I find mostly what happens is we get, you know, there's always, we can get really Bible smart and know and think we know a lot of stuff, but we don't really do a whole lot with it other than we stay in our 5-foot square and we're fighting like crazy for the kingdom, but we're going absolutely nowhere. You give me somebody who's maybe a little foolhardy, but they're taking chances and taking risks, and I'll take that person because I can bring them, they can grow in wisdom and counsel, right? But getting the guts to get out of yourself for God's kingdom, for his glory, that's where things will happen. So we're going to wrap up now. So if you would mind, let's have everybody stand up. And actually, I want you to actually just close your eyes. I want to talk to you for just a short moment. So I talked about two groups of people here who are not, right, the 5 and 2 talent people. So if you're kind of like me, and you found yourself, you know, John, I'll admit, yeah, I've for like 5 years, 10 years, 20 years or more, I've been in that place where I have not, you know, really taken any risk. I've been playing it safe forever. And I feel like I've been stuck, you know, for a long time. So with everybody's your eyes closed, right? I don't want anybody looking around, but I want to ask you to do something here that's a little bit of a risk. You know, the person next to you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand here for a second if you want to make a commitment to do something. You know, if you're afraid that, listen, my neighbor may feel the swoosh in my hand go up or the wind or whatnot, you know, we need to work on our risk-taking abilities here, right? But, you know, this is where it starts. And what I find is a lot of times when the Lord is speaking to me, that's great. And I walk out those front doors and really kind of go back to where I was before. But I find that if I do something that puts a little action behind it, it really starts to solidify in my heart and my spirit. And I find that even the simplest of actions can have an impact on my spirit. So that's what I'm going to do today. So if you're here this morning and you're like, yep, I've been playing it safe for too long, Lord, and I know that you're talking to me this morning, and I'm going to make a conscious effort to make that change starting now and start taking some risk, and I want to grow your kingdom in this world around me, and I want to get out of this 5-square-foot plot of land that I've been in forever, and I want to do some things for your kingdom. If that's you, I'm going to ask you right now, raise your hand. Go ahead, put your hand up. And just hold it there for a second, you know. We're gonna build some courage here. We're gonna build some risk. And there are hands up all over. So if you're still, I'll give you a few more seconds. If you feel like you want to make that commitment, take a second and do so. You would not be alone. Okay, you can put your hands down. Thank you, everybody. And we're gonna pray about that together. I want you to keep your heads bowed please, for one more moment. Now, we're going to pray together, I promise. But there's another group that I kind of touched on, although we didn't spend a lot of time with it. And that's that group, if you feel like you are a religious follower, you feel like, hey, I come to church, but I don't have that relationship with the Lord, John, that you're talking about. I don't really know his love and his grace and his forgiveness. Yeah, for me, it really is. It's a religion, and I don't know the Lord. Or if you're someone in here who, John, I'm telling you, I don't know the Lord at all. I don't even pretend to even be a religious follower. I don't know the Lord. I'm here today, but I have no relationship with Jesus. I never asked him to wash my sins away. I never asked him to be my Lord and Savior. So if you're one of those two people, you don't know the Lord, or your religion is just a religion, right? And you don't have that relationship, then I'm going to ask you to put your hand up right now if you want to know the Lord for the first time. Put your hand up. It's okay. All right. Now I'm just going to believe that everybody here knows the Lord as their Savior, and that's awesome. But if you do want to talk to somebody after the service, we will have leadership team up front. Elder, we call them elders, who will pray and talk with us too. So let's pray together. And so I want you, in fact, everybody just repeat after me, whether you raise your hand, like you want to start taking some risk or not. Let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, I know you love me. And you know that I love you. And thank you for showing me today that I need to get out of my comfort zone. And I want to get out of my comfort zone. I ask you to give me the courage and give me the bravery and help me to listen to you, Holy Spirit, as you speak to me and as you lead me. Help me to step out. And I repent for not stepping out before. Ask you, please forgive me and wash that away, God. And help me to step out for you and your kingdom. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Help me to love you more. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody. I was going to sing a song.